אלה המשפטים אשר תוסים לפניהם. The pasuk in this week's parsha begins with a connection to the previous parsha. Previous parsha, the parsha of Matan Torah, and the obvious question everybody asks is why does the Torah go out of its way to be mechaber these two parshiyos? What's the connection? Rashi in fact says that when the pasuk says ve'ela mishpotim, so Rashi says kol mokom shenemarei l'posel ve'ela moisef al rishonim arishonim misinai afeilu misinai. Just like the original ones from Har Sinai, so these also are from Sinai. So there's a fascinating chidah which we discussed earlier this week. The chidah has a very interesting idea, machshava. He says that many people think that the Torah is an intellectual exercise. It's a chokhmah likus. And that really, that ideology, as the chidah writes, is a very dangerous ideology. Even though it starts off with somebody really lifting up the degel haTorah, taking Torah and putting it on a pedestal, saying Torah is really for miskoyles, it's unbelievable intellect. It's a very similar approach that the Bnei Enosh did after the world was created. They didn't deny the Rabbeinu Shalom. They didn't say they don't believe in God, the Bnei Enosh. They said God. I mean, God is not busy worrying about little things that's going on here. Weather. Rabbeinu Shalom is not worried about weather. He's not worried about the political climate. He's not worried about the other kind of climate, right? Global warming. These are things the Eibishter Hashamoshim, the Eibishter created. I'm talking about Avodah Zorah. The later Rambam writes the history of Avodah Zorah. Didn't start with Avodah Zorah. Started with the other Mauritian who believes, obviously, and slowly it degraded. So the Rambam writes the process of the degradation was that people started saying God in His loftiness, not involved in day-to-day what's going on. This is not the Rabbeinu Shalom's business. And then slowly, but the idea, if you analyze it, of course, first of all, that thought process is Avodah Zorah. For somebody to say that the Rabbeinu Shalom is not manik debriya, that's Avodah Zorah. But forgetting the Avodah Zorah piece for a moment, what it does is it creates a mechitza between you and the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because basically the Rabbeinu Shalom is not in your life. My daily life, the Eibishter is not involved. And that's how Avodah Zorah began, the Rambam writes. In a similar vein, the Sefer Chidor is Masbir, that when you get the Torah, you can look at it like, listen, the Torah is on a very elevated level, but the day-to-day things, that's not, an ox goring an ox. That's not something to mix the Torah into. That's too basic. It's too basic. Planting in the field, leaving leket shikhanpeya, those are not miskoilis. The Torah is for intellectual things. And therefore create a mechitza between day-to-day living and the Torah. Says the Chidor, that's why you have this vav connecting Parshas Mishpotim to Matan Torah, to make this link that day-to-day activities, simplistic things, have to be ran based on the Or HaTorah. And the Rabbeinu Shalom has the same interest in a person who's learning Zvachim and Menachos, and he's learning a sophisticated Limudim, as the same thing as the Torah is learning Shor Shanogah Chazapora V'nim Tzubra V'tzida. It's the same Torah, and its importance is the same, and it's the same Sinai. That's the Chidor. So I don't want to take away from that. I mean, that's a Meiritic idea, and there's no question that that's Merumas here. I want to tell you another thought, which will be masber several things that are going on in this parsha. Going back to Matan Torah, one of the most astounding things that happened by Matan Torah is the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom took the Har Sinai, whether he did it metzias or it was a conceptual fear, whatever it is, however you want to learn, the Rabbeinu Shalom forced us to take the Torah. And the Gemara in Shabbos makes that clear, that there was an element here of coercion. The Rebbeinu Shem forced us to take the Torah. The Gemara, the all the Rishonim asked, Tosfos, and Ramban, and Rashba, and the Medrash Tanchuma, why did Rebbeinu Shem force us to take the Torah? We accepted the Torah, Nasa v'Nishma. We want, with joy, we took the Torah joyfully. Why did Eibush to force us? What was the point of forcing us? So there's, of course, countless tirutzim to this question. The two most famous approaches, and within these two approaches there are many different levels, are one is that, in fact, when we accepted the Torah, we accepted the Torah in a more general way, which is termed in the Rishonim Torah Shebiksav. Accepted the Torah. But then when we started hearing what the Torah includes, that it's really not a sealed book, the Torah Shebaalpeh, it's Rechova Min HaYam, so then we already were... We had our hesitation. That's one approach. Others say that's the approach that's in the Medrash. Tosfos quotes it. It's a Medrash Tanchuma. And the other approach is that the Rebbeinu Shem really didn't need, and that's, I guess, the most logical way, the way one would look at it is, the Rebbeinu Shem didn't have to force us then. At that point, we accepted the Torah joyfully. Willingly, joyfully. But there's times in history where keeping the Torah became a challenge. And the Rebbeinu Shem was telling us for future generations. Maimon Har Sinai was eternal. It wasn't just for the time. Rebbeinu Shem was saying, you should know, the Torah is the key to survival of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael will survive. Am Yisrael will survive. You should know, secular Jews understand this. I had tremendous chizuk over the last couple of weeks. When Rav Eliashiv, Nebuch, the last couple of weeks, he's been quite ill, and he's had many nisim over the last 10 days, beyond nisim. But when he was giving shmuz to the Talmidim in the yeshiva on Tuesday, when they were off for a couple of days, actually, so I was giving them a shmuz about Rav Eliashiv. And I said, you have to realize, if Rav Eliashiv is in danger, so the world is in danger, Eretz Yisrael is in danger, it's not Rav Eliashiv. It's everything that's tied into it. I told this to the boys Tuesday before we set the hill in front of Eliashiv. I came home and I checked the news in Eretz Yisrael, just what's going on, and I saw a speech that Shimon Peres gave, president of Israel. And I was misspelled. I went back to Yeshiva to tell the boys that Baruch Shekivanti. This is Shimon Peres, Nishkin Fromid. Shimon Peres wrote, he called Shari Tzedek, he called this, he said, they should tell the family that I am davening for him. I'm saying to heal him for the Rav. This is Shimon Peres talking. So I'm davening for the Rav. So of course you have these bloggers, Nebuch of Eliashiv, these his tefillos like a Malchum. But you know, I don't have to tell you all the Kluger bloggers. All these smart bloggers they missed one point. They missed one point. They don't realize that a Yid vazok nish tehillim. His tehillim is very chosh. Because when he opens the Tehillim, he's doing something that's unnatural. And who knows? Zayin Tehillim can zayin besel for unzere Tehillim. Because for us to open up a Tehillim, it's part of our daily routine. Shira malos miyam akim, that's part of our routine. Somebody, the Chavetz Chaim said a gevalde gevot. And really, it's already from the Ramchal. He said, it says, Ein Moshiach bo, Moshiach will only come in a generation shekuli zakai yabudor shekuli chayiv. So one of the Talmidim of the Ramchal, so how does that make sense? Mashiach's only going to come a generation that's Kulei Zakai or Kulei Chayev? Why would Mashiach come in a generation that's Kulei Chayev? So the Ramchal said a gevalde gevot. He said, how do we have the chutzpah to say that Mashiach should come now? How do we have such a chutzpah? There were generations, Abaye v'Rove, Ravashi and Ravina, Rabbeinu HaKodesh. There were so many holy Jews, Rabbi Akiva v'Chaverov. What? So we know Mashiach has to come at the end of the Elif Hashishi, right? There's a time where Mashiach's going to have to come and meet Hashem. We're hoping it's be Achi Sheni. He's going to come sooner. We're davening. We should get it sooner. So the Ramchal said that his Talmud said, he said, how do we have the chutzpah to say that Mashiach should come sooner in our day than he could have come in the for Ravina and Ravashi? He's going to come for us. I mean, Daniel is very chosher. But even about, and I have tremendous chashivas, Rav Daniel. But Ravina Rav Ashi, Ravina Rav Ashi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. How do we have the chutzpah? The Ramchal said a gevaldik gevolt. The Ramchal said that if you have complete darkness and you put on a little light, it illuminates. So, oh God, it's a tremendous light. He said Mashiach can only come when there's a tremendous impact done by the Shem Yitzchak Mitzvah. Yes, that's the way he's going to come sooner, by us making an impact, the Kovet Shemayim. And that Kovet Shemayim could be accomplished B'dol Shekuli Zakai, a generation that the whole generation just perfects itself to such a level deserving of Mashiach. Or you could have a Dol Shekuli Chayiv. You could have a generation that's all Chayiv. And in that generation, the ability to illuminate is much easier. I always tell the Talmidim, in our generation, just to have ethics and morality and menschlichkeit, that's an unbelievable light. It's an orgadol. Mashiach is very, very, this door is very royal for Mashiach, because a little light can illuminate tremendously in this world. That's what the Ramchal said. The Chofetz Chaim always used to say this over. Don't think that the generation is too low for Mashiach to come. Adarav. So to me, Shimon Peres saying this, he said, he told the Mishpacha, and they had this published. He said, I'm davening for him every day. I have a tehillim in my heart. I'm davening. He said, because the nation of Eretz Yisrael needs Revel Yash. Imagine Shimon Peres talking. The nation of Eretz Yisrael, they need. So Pshat, the Torah holds up the world. So the Eibishter told Klal Yisrael, every generation, he wasn't talking to that generation that was on the bottom of the mountain. They said Nasa V'Nishma. The Eibishter was saying in all generations to come. All generations. He was saying Shom Teik for, he didn't say Kan. Hashem didn't say if you don't accept the Torah, here you'll be buried. He said Shom Teik for Aschem. So Banishim was talking to all future generations. He was saying at any given time, if at that generation they're not going to have the Torah, Shom Teik for Aschem. That generation, that's where you'll fall through. That's another approach to what Nasa V'Nishma was. But I want to focus more on the approach of the Maral in Prague. And I found that in the Shitas HaKadmeinim, that some of the Rishonim learned this way, like the Maral. The Maral says a Gevaldik Pshat, and that will tie in to this. It will tie in also to what the Vav of Parshas Mishpatim, and it will also tie into this very first mitzvah of Eved Ivri, because Parshas Mishpatim, which introduces all of the laws of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, some Bein Adam L'Mokom mitzvahs also, but Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, Parshas Mishpatim starts with the mitzvah of Eved Ivri, Kisikne Eved Ivri. You have to realize Eved Ivri is a mitzvah that kemat, this is not Stam Eved Ivri, this is Eved Ivri of Machu Bezn. So we're talking about an Eved Ivri that stole and has no money, and his relatives have no money, and he can't get a hold of any money, and the only choice that Bezdin has is to sell him. And even then, Bezdin can only sell an Eved Ivri if he's equal to the value of what he stole. According to one opinion, he has to be exactly equal. But clearly, if he's worth more than he stole, right? So then they don't sell him. They don't sell them. Because nimka kuloi v'lo nimka chetziov. So you're talking about a guy has to steal like a certain particular amount, right? Which the guy's got to be a tippish. Just steal a little more. Steal a little less. Just work it out that it shouldn't be a... How did such a case happen? It's almost it's a rarity that such a thing should happen. But Al Koponim, the Torah introduces the whole parasha Mishpatim with this Eved Ivri business. Why? Why does the Torah introduce Parshas Mishpatim, Sefer Mishpatim, with a mitzvah that is so uncommon that kemat, I would venture to say, kemat doesn't exist? Could be, it happened a couple of times in history, but it's not Maisa B'Kol Yoyim. So why does the Torah start off Parshas Mishpatim with that mitzvah? Obviously something to teach you about this mitzvah. There's, of course, a lot of different explanations of why the Torah did that. I just want to give Obviously, the most simple explanation, which I can't hold back from saying, obviously, is if you see how important being honest with money is, if you see that the Torah requires us to sell a person for an Eved Ivri, to recoup damages that he did, that he inflicted on another Jew, so it puts the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro in a whole different light, as far as people think, oh, it's Geneva, it's not such a big deal. It's only Geneva. Right, like the mice I had over here in Ezel Neshech. Who remembers that mice? We gave Shin Ezel Neshech. This mice happened right here, B'fahes, it happened in front of other people. I couldn't believe it. Not only a person wasn't embarrassed to do it, he did it publicly in front of other people. I was giving Shir and Ribbis. Then the Afyemi was holding in the Hagdome to Ezel Neshech. So I gave a Ribbis Shir. And at the end of the Shir, a guy comes over to me, Bakovedik, a guy with a beard, Agantz Bentera, right? I'm saying a facade of a Bentera. And he asked me, you know, he says he thinks he has a Ribbis Shaila based on what I said in the Shir. So he went through what he does, how he bills, the customers, this, that. After he finished telling me how he runs his business, I said, you don't have any kind of ribbis shayla. It's absolutely not. Not a vak ribbis. It's not ribbis bichlal. But geneva you have by you. Geneva. It's geneva it is. And geneva the rice. And not stam geneva the rabbonon. Emesse geneva. So guys, I'm not asking the rov about the geneva. I'm asking about the ribbis. Geneva wasn't the shayla. He said this in front of us. We had a whole group of people. Wasn't even embarrassed to say, Geneva, they're not my shayla. That's a different issue. So the Torah starts off Parshas Mishpatim. The Torah brings out the cheshivas for money of another Jew by saying, here you have Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri conceptually goes against everything we stand for. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodai heim v'oy avodim l'avodim. And still Beis Din goes and sells you to make up for money that you took from another Jew. So it puts in perspective what the money of another Jew is. That's the one of the pshatim that I would say why the Torah started Parshas Mishpatim with Eved Ivri. To give you that idea of what another Jew's money is. What Mammon Yisrael is. That's one explanation how we could say why the Torah started like this in Parshas Mishpatim. I'll share with you another idea in going to the Maral. The Maral says a fascinating idea. The Maral says, in going by Matan Torah, he says that the truth is that there are two ways to keep the Torah. One way to keep the Torah is voluntary. Voluntary. He says that option was never really given to us. We mistakenly took it like it's such an option. The Abish came and says, would you like the Torah? We said, yes, we accept it. Nasa v'nishma. When we said Nasa v'nishma, we said we're accepting the Torah even without it being given to us, even before without the tzivui. So we really accepted the Torah like an Eidimitzuvah. Right? But the emes is that option wasn't on the table. The Eibishter wanted to show us there is no option of keeping the Torah voluntary. It's either you're Magaya and you're commanded to keep the Torah, or you're not Magaya. There is no option of voluntarily keeping the Torah. That was the kfiyah. The Eibishter came, he took the mountain upon them. He says, now that you're accepting the Torah, don't make a mistake to think this is a voluntary exercise. That you're accepting the Torah. Thank you, you're accepting to do the Torah. No, you're accepting to be mitzuveh. So the Eibishter put the mountain over them to show them, from now on, it's not voluntary. Now that you've accepted the Torah willingly, now it's not voluntary anymore. Now the Torah is kfiyah. And the truth is that is the only way the Torah could have a kiyum. A couple of years ago, Simchas Torah, we were talking about why the Torah praises Moshe Rabbeinu so much for breaking the luchos. He broke the luchos. Is that something to praise him? So you'll say, okay, he did the job that he had to do. So that year when we explained it on Simchas Torah, I said, listen, there's no question it was a courageous thing for Moshe Rabbeinu to do. It was a courageous thing because it took guts. A lot of people, I'm sure, said, what's he doing? Breaking the luchos of the Eibishter? I'm sure there were people there going, ich halt nicht dazay. Just like today you have people like that. The ich halt nicht dazay is not a new breed. The Yidden then also. And it could be Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Ich halt nicht dazay. I guarantee you there were people there who went, I wouldn't have broken the luchas. Moshe did it. I'm sure he had a cheshbon, but I wouldn't do such a thing. It's not a new thing that only today we have such people. It's always existed. It wasn't Pasha to break the luchas. I gave a boy a mazel tov this week in the yeshiva. He started davening maggid for the amud. And then he realized there was an earlier minyan in the yeshiva, 6:30. He realized he already davened maggid. So he took off the talus. He was holding by maggid ahovim. Took off the talus and he walked away from the amud. This morning he came over to me, halach, if he did the right thing, was it? So first thing is I told him, we can all learn from you. Because another guy would just keep on davening. Yes, shy was later, but keep on davening. Barrett, the Buzza, the Bizyanis, the Moshe Rabbeinu broke the tzitzit. But you want to be maspid Moshe Rabbeinu at the illustrious life that Moshe Rabbeinu led. He gave us the Torah, he took us out of Mitzrayim. So what does the Torah say? He broke the luchas. That's how we praise Moshe Rabbeinu. That's his legacy. That was the lowest part of Moshe Rabbeinu's career. I'm not saying that, the Torah says it. Leich reid, kishiches am, chazok t'rashi, reid migdulasa. So when Moshe broke the luchas, he was on the bottom of his career. Why would we praise when we're talking Moshe dying and we're going to have one pasuk? This wasn't a long hesped, you go to Levaya, hours of hespedim. One pasuk. L'chol ayor ha-chazoka. Says Rashi, what's the yor ha-chazoka? That Moshe broke the luchas. The explanation, my friends, is this maral. It's this maral. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph, that when the Bnei Hashem gave the Torah on Har Sinai, the Gemara says the Goyim, when they heard the first luchas, Anoichi lo yeh lecha, all those things, they said, lechvoy ratzmo yudarish. They said this king is doing this whole Torah for himself, because the first luchas has been adam l'makom. It's all for the Bnei Hashem. I'm your God. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't worship other idols. Don't keep Shabbos. It's all him. They want machshavah. But once they heard the second luch, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, once they heard le'signoi, le'sirtzach, le'sachmoi, then they went, that's good stuff. The Gemara then says, chazru v'hoidu le'dibris rishonis. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, then they agreed with the first ones too. When the Goyim heard what the second luch had, they agreed with the first one too. That's pshandis. If they agree. What's the shaykhis? If they felt the first one was unnecessary, unimportant, or whatever, so then they heard the second one, they liked it. So they could do selective appreciation. So you appreciate the second luchas, not the first luchas. So I want to suggest to our boys, I push up Shandi Gemara. All the goyim had in their own bylaws, loy sirtzach, loy signoiv, loy sachmoid, these are things they also had. But for some reason, the society didn't keep it. All goyim believed in loy sirtzach be'etzem. Chachmei Umos HaOlam believed that's the way to have a civilization. They realized, because they don't have an anoichi, they realized that loy sirtzach and loy sachmoid and loy sinoiv, loy signoiv, those things don't work if you don't have a God. If you don't have a yira from the Rabbeinu Shalala, they realize that you can't have one without the other. Kivon Shashamu, when they heard the second Dibris, Chazu v'hoidu b'dibris rishenis, they said, you know what? We need the first ones too. Because you can't have a second one without having a first one. Without a noichi, when Avram was was found by Avimelech and Yitzchak Avinu, and they lied about whether this was a wife or a sister. And Avimelech comes and he says, what did you do? Why did you lie? What was the response? Amarti ein yiras elokim b'mokom hazeh. If there's no anoichi, it's a bottomless pit. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klai Yisrael did the chet of the Egel Azov, we really only violated, except for the Jews that killed Chur, but most of the Jews, the violation was only the first luach. We violated anechi. We violated le'yilecho. We didn't violate le'sitzach, le'signoiv, le'sachmoid, le'sinoiv. We didn't do that. Which lucha did Moshe Rabbeinu break? Both. And Moshe makes a point of it if you look in the pasuk. For ekach eshnei aluchos, I took dafka both of them. And he writes, v'ashlichei me'al shnei yodoy. Moshe makes a point of saying, I took both luchos and I broke both. Why? What did Moshe do? Moshe showed us that when we jeopardize anoichi, when we jeopardize anoichi Hashem Elokecha, we're jeopardizing everything. And that was the lesson, that was the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu. So when we're maspid Moshe Rabbeinu, we're maspid our Rebbe, our dear Rebbe, that he taught us that without Yiras Shamayim, you have nothing. You don't have Leisirtzach, you don't have Leisignoiv, you have nothing if you don't have Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. And that's the Yorach HaZokah Sheosu Moshe. That was the tremendous Yorach HaZokah that Moshe Rabbeinu did. And that's this Maral. If you don't have Hechrach, if you're not forced, I often explain that that's why the Rambam writes that a goy who keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, not because Moshe is Mechuyev to keep it. He keeps it because Hechrach Das, because it makes sense. So the Rambam writes, Einu Nechsidi U'Maseilom. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim Perek Yud Aleph. He's not Perkes. He's not from the Chassidei U'Maseilom. Va'afilu Loi Mechachomeim. He's not even smart. He's not smart. So some change the girsa. Elo Mechachomeim. I would say the Pshat in the Rambam is what I'm telling you. Einu Nechsidi U'Maseilom. He's not even Mechachomeim because you want to accept on yourself a new lifestyle. It's only going to materialize. If there's a mitzvah, if there's an anoichi Hashem Elokecha, if he's just saying you're accepting a new lifestyle without any kind of commander in chief, then it's not going to hold. Says the Rambam, not only is not mechsidi m'seilom, he's afilu loy mechachameim. It's nothing. It's not called anything. Comes Parshas Mishpatim. We start learning so many new halachas and Parshas Mishpatim. Most of them are logish. Most of them are logical. Logical, you cause damages, so you have to pay for the damages. If you inflict physical damage on another Jew, you have to compensate. These are all things, these are logical things. Right? So a person may think, Yiras Shamayim, for Parshas Mishpatim, you don't need. Yiras Shamayim, you don't need. You don't need a Anoichi Hashem Elokecha for Parshas Mishpatim. Comes the Pasuk, and the Pasuk says, you should know, without Anoichi, there's no Ve'ela Mishpatim. That's why it connects the two. Ma'al Rishonis Misinai, Ve'elu Misinai. It's not coming to tell you this comes from Har Sinai. Of course it comes from Har Sinai. But you should know, without a Kabbalah of Har Sinai, without a Kabbalah of Anoichi, Parshas Mishpatim can't survive either. Don't think that you can have a Parshas Mishpatim without Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. And this perhaps could be the explanation what Rashi means when he says that Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, Loike Moshe Olal Daitcha, you know, that I'll just go through this quickly, because these are all logical mitzvahs. No. Without the complete adherence to Anoichi, without the complete Kabbalah Satorah, these mitzvahs would not be kept. They're only kept, they're all riding on Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Without Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, you have nothing. You don't have any mishpat. What's an Evet? An Eved is somebody who you go ahead, he's a second-class citizen. Every Eved is a second-class citizen. He's a slave. Right? Okay, Baruch Hashem, in America, we stopped that. Right? No more slaves. Today we make them into presidents. Right? We machter them. But there used to be, says a society, slaves. But when we talk about Eved, a slave is, by definition, a slave is a second-class citizen. There's not stam a second-class citizen over there. You're dealing with a thief. You're dealing with a ganef who's not paying back. So he's a second-class citizen times two. He's not stam a second-class citizen. He's a second-class citizen times two. Logic dictates that a slave like this, you push him around a little bit. Congresses the chetz, you don't have to have him. Shlishi, you don't give him. What do you give? You don't give the guy shlishi. The guy, first of all, he's your slave. Number one, he's your slave. You pay dear money for him, that he should work for you. He should be submissive to you. He should be mevatel himself to you. Number two, he's a chaganev. He's a ganev. He needs rehabilitation. He's a thief. Comes the Torah, and the Torah says, Imcha b'maychon, Imche b'mishte. The Torah comes and says, you have to give him whatever you have, you have to give him. If you have one pillow, he should get the pillow. This Ghana thief is getting first class, he's getting the first class seat here. If you have an air mattress, if you have a water bed, so the water bed goes to him. If you have two water beds, so you can have one too. But you have to have everything double. Otherwise, what that does for him is a different parasha. God, what is the Torah telling you? The Torah is telling you that Mishpatim is not Seichel. Mishpatim is Anoichi. And it starts, therefore, with the mitzvah, which doesn't fit in our Seichel. Just to bring out that even the mitzvah Sichlim of Mishpatim require a connection to Har Sinai. And to bring that out to the highest degree, it starts the parasha with a mitzvah that no way without Kabbal Sateo would you keep this mitzvah. No way in the world would you be elevating your slave Ganav above the treatment that you get yourself. Right? That underlines the theme of the parasha, which is that all the mishpatim that we're going to learn about all come from Sinai. All the mishpatim, they have no survival. Just like Parshas Eved Ivri, obviously, has no survival without Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Neither does Shoshan Ogach HaSapora. And that's the idea. Without Yerushalayim, we don't have anything.